Okay, so with that said, I've updated the calendar a little bit. Again, I just want to encourage any of our church members tonight, if you guys are tech savvy and you guys would like to assist me by maintaining, updating our church calendar, it's real easy. You guys can let me know. That'll be a blessing. But now on the calendar, you guys are going to be able to identify our soul winning outreaches. Obviously, other than when we announce it like a week ahead, hey, we're going to cancel for a reason. Obviously, that's when you guys will find out if we are going, not going to go on a following weekend. Amen. But another announcement, I don't have the flyer now, but how many of you guys remember Pastor Alfredo from last year? He preached at our church. So he's a good friend of mine, and the brethren there, the hermanos, I like to say, they're having a conference this month, and they have conferences like all the time, but they're having a family conference. And so they invited us, of course, and it's starting today through Friday. So I just want to encourage you, if you guys don't have anything planned and you guys want to fellowship with some hermanos, of course, you guys already know Brother Manny's serving there on the 23rd to 24th. I want to encourage you. I think it'll be good to go. Amen. Good to participate. So with that said, my wife and I, we like to go tomorrow and Friday. So obviously, if some of you guys want to go, let me know. And if we want to, as a church family, we can cancel this Friday night's discipleship so we can go fellowship with the hermanos. Because it's always good to fellowship with churches, amen? It's always good to co-labor and to be a friend. And that's been our number one goal, is to try to be as friendly with other believers as much as we can to receive encouragement. Even though you may not understand a lot of Spanish for some of you out there, hey, it's all right. You can still just be a blessing, amen? And so next week, as you guys remember, on the 25th, we got about 2 weeks away, the Oceanside Parade Outreach. So again, that's going to be the biggest evangelism outreach we have of the year. So some of the friends from Alfredo's church, they may join us too. That's a blessing. So we got some friends from El Cajon, some friends from Chula Vista, and then possibly some of the hermanos. They may co-labor with us to go out there. If you're able to join us on the 25th, we're going to try to meet her at 7:30 in the morning because we want to be out there on the street by 8:30. The reason why we want to go early church is because the parade, they will start getting there super early, and there's going to be a lot of people. I'm talking about probably close to 1,000 to 2,000. We're not going to go out there to street preach. We're not going to go out there to do nothing but hand out flyers. So these new gospel tracts, all we're going to be doing, folks, is just having a smile on our face and giving somebody a flyer. And we just want to let you know Jesus loves you. We want to invite you to church. That's all we're going to say. And if you guys know Coast Highway, it's pretty long. So in front of the library, that's usually the end of it. And all the way off Wisconsin, where there's Mosin gas station, that's usually the beginning of the parade. So what we're going to try to do is, depending upon how many volunteers we get, we're going to break up all of the brethren on the both sides of the end. And what we're going to do is we're going to start at the end of the library and at the end of Wisconsin, and we're going to, you know, move our way to the middle, if you will. There's two sides of the street, so we're going to have groups go out, right, on both sides of the streets, and then just pass out flyers. That's all you got to do, church. You don't got to be shy. You just got to say, hi, just want to share Jesus with you. We just want to invite you to church. That's all you got to say. Nothing too crazy. So again, on the 25th, please try your best to make time for the Lord. And all we're going to do is just be out there for a couple hours. As soon as we get to the middle, and as soon as we the other groups meet each other in the middle, then that's it. We'll come back here probably around 11 o'clock to 12, and we'll have lunch with the church, and we'll just call it a day. Amen. And so I really want to encourage you, if you can, please, on the 25th, make it out with your church to just share the gospel with our city. And then the 26th through the 29th, we've been invited by Pastor Josh in El Cajon for a little cool Bible, not a conference, but just a get-together for a special speaker. His name is Sam Gipp. If you guys remember some of the online studies I do, I use that book right over there called Understandable History. So for those of you who want to learn a little bit about the history of your Bible, Brother Sam Gipp is a good brother to study from. So if you want to join me or my wife, we're going to try to go, probably not every day, but Sunday night, and then probably the Tuesday night, amen? So just want to throw that invitation out there. I know some of you guys may want to join us for those cool church trips. That sure would be a blessing if you guys can join us, amen? And then, like I said, I've updated our calendar, so now you know when we're going to go soul-winning. Okay, so with that said, because we are most likely... tomorrow, we are not doing our every other Thursday soul winning outreach, so that's a pause. And then let's go ahead and click on live stream links. Once again, I just want to encourage you, if you have a Facebook page, go ahead and like and subscribe to our church page, share it with your friends, and then also YouTube, subscribe and like, and then podcast. Like I said, for those of you who are working, you can't see the video, you can listen to it back on the MP3, amen? And last but not least, if you remember this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in your giving as unto Lord of your finances to support the ministry here and the saints. And as you guys know, church, we're doing the best we can with the little we have to keep our rent going, get these gospel tracts, and it'd be a blessing to our needs here. Amen. And if you guys were here last Sunday, that was a good study to show all of our church members that it's our responsibility to help maintain the work of service here while you're being fed the word of God. Amen. All right, so that's pretty much our announcements here. So if you have any questions here tonight, let me know after church. Amen. And I'll be helpful. I'll be more than happy to give you a hand, okay? All right, guys. Well, as usual, as we like to ask, how is everybody's week going? Everybody having a good weekend? It's good to see Sister Eileen back. Amen. We've been praying for her. Praise the Lord. She looks like she's feeling better. Amen. I want you guys to continue to keep not only Sister Eileen in prayer. She's still recovering, I assume. But also Sister Colleen, she's a little older, so I know she gets a little more sick, if you will, and I know whatever she's going through is pretty tough. It's been pretty difficult for her, amen? But with that said, we're going to keep being a church of prayer to encourage our saints here for what's going on. All right, so I'm trying to get this program here. Give me 1 second, church. I don't know where my Bible app went. Oh, there you go. Okay, cool. All right, church. Well, everybody's having a good weekend and everybody's having a good, midweek. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and get right into our study tonight as we got a lot of ground to cover. Do you guys want the AC on? AC? No AC? You guys hear it? Okay. Because some of you are like, oh, it's a little hot. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Let me know if you guys are. Here it is. Here's the power right here. Okay, we'll get that on. Okay, Acts chapter 24. Let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles. Acts chapter number 24. And so, like I said, tonight, church, what we're going to do and to discuss with the help of the Holy Spirit is how to be an honorable vessel. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to examine the Apostle Paul's life so we could see within our own eyes and from our own eyes and hear with our ears how we can be an honorable vessel for God. Tonight, I'm going to show you from the Bible that the word vessel has a lot of meanings, but the primary meaning that we're going to focus on tonight is that your body is a vessel. And when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that Bible says that you were given treasure. And you have that treasure, if you will, hidden in your body. And we are not to just keep this light covered. You don't just light a candle and you put a vessel to cover it. You are supposed to let that light shine. And hence, the candle has a purpose to bring lightness and illumination to a dark place. Much like that church with our Christian life, when you became a Christian, you were given treasure. And that treasure was not to be hidden. That treasure was to be viewed, was to be displayed, is to be seen, and is to be offered because it's been freely given to you, and you are expected to be giving it out freely as well. So tonight, my encouragement, church, is that you're going to see from Paul's life a good challenge to all of us, including myself. While I was studying this, it was really convicting on how to be an honorable vessel. And so tonight, that is my open prayer. The title of this message is The Word Makes Men Tremble. The Word Makes Men Tremble. As you guys remember, when we've been going through Acts 24, we were learning that Paul is giving a testimony before the governor Felix. Remember, church, that he was already being faithful and preaching the gospel, being a missionary, and he wanted to go back to Jerusalem, even though God warned him not to go. Well, when he went in that temple, and some of the Jews from Asia, they started an uproar, and they literally started whooping on Paul. Remember that? They beat him up. The Roman officers had to rescue him, so that way he wasn't torn to pieces, as he said, from those very, very angry Jews. And long story short, as he lets them know, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, he has rights, he has to now go through all the political process so that way he can have a due and fair trial. So now he went up to Caesarea, and remember that some of the Sanhedrin, those elders, those Jews, they followed because they were required to give a testimony, if you will, in a court case, and they had a lawyer named Tertullus who was giving a false accusation. And then starting in verse number 10, you guys see here, Paul began to give an answer on his behalf. Let's start reading today, church, in Acts 24, verse number 10. The Bible says, then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Remember, everything that Jesus fulfilled was prophesied in the Old Testament, hundreds and thousands of years before Jesus was born. Isn't that cool? He says in verse 15, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. That's what we believe in, because Jesus rose from the dead. Verse 16, and herein do I exercise myself, to have always a good conscience, void of offense toward God and toward man. Church, pay attention to that. We're going to come back to that later. Verse 17, and after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. So he just gave his testimony. The governor heard him. Pretty much, governor, here's what's going on. These Jews, they're hating on me because I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And because I believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah from our Old Testament, you know, our God, the God of Israel, I believe there's going to be a resurrection to come. And because God fulfilled that in raising up Jesus of Nazareth, that's why they have a problem with me, Your Honor. Because they don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead like I do. And that's pretty much the summation. But let's keep reading in verse number 22. When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. So now the governor, he just heard a little bit more of what Christians believe in. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. That's pretty cool. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the what? Faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, look at these next two words, church. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word of God. Tonight, Lord, I know these people came to learn more about you, not about me, not about what I think, not about how I feel. And tonight, I hope and pray that they came not for their feelings, but to learn more about your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know how every person is before you tonight, God. I don't know where they're at in their walk with you, Lord. I don't know if they're being an honorable or dishonorable vessel, but you know. Tonight, I pray that as we listen to the teaching and preaching of the word of God, will it stir within our hearts a desire to do the best we can before we leave these doors tonight, God. If there's anything within our hearts that we need to repent of, if there's anything in our hearts that we need to ask you to forgive us of, Lord, would you help us so you can bless our life and you can use us to be a vessel for your glory. It's not about our church title, God, you know that. It's about you saving sinners, and it's about that Bible discipling us to be more like you and to be a light into this world of darkness. God, I thank you for every soul that's here tonight because I know you have a plan and a purpose and you want to use them, but on your terms. Help us to receive that tonight in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. The title of this message is that the word makes men tremble. You guys can see by the end of Paul giving a testimony to the governor, what happened? He trembled. That means he got a little fearful. He got a little scared because Paul was telling this Gentile governor the truth of the gospel. He told him, Your Honor, you're a sinner. He told him, Your Honor, this is what Jesus Christ did about your sin. And he told him, Your Honor, if you don't repent and ask Jesus Christ to save you, you will be judged by him one day. My friend, I'm telling you right now that Christianity, although it was not comfortable to begin with because it started with a man who died on a bloody cross, my friend, it carries a lot more than just loving your neighbor as yourself. It carries the truth needing to be proclaimed concerning the sin and evil within people's lives. Because one day, the man whom we are preaching about, the man that we are sharing about, is said that he is going to judge all one day. Some of you became Christians. Thank God for that. You will not have to worry about the evil judgment to come that God is going to judge you for to send you into a lake of fire because you trusted him while you were still alive on the earth. But for your family and your friends who are not born again, they have a fearful judgment to come because they are denying and rejecting the Son of God. You see, the gospel of God without the wrath of God is not the gospel at all. You guys need to remember that. We're not only here to tell people about a good man who did a good thing for wicked people, but we are here to tell people and warn them, if you don't respond to this good man, you have something coming against you one day. And that's why we're trying to tell him, friend, you need to remind yourself and realize he's coming back to judge. So that's what made the man tremble. Well, remember, Paul was a vessel. There's two things we're going to talk about tonight, the vessel and the word. Prior to the Apostle Paul's plea to Rome, the Lord Jesus Christ had already commissioned Paul's life to be set apart for the work of ministry. Turn your Bible now with me to the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We've already talked about this in depth, but tonight, like I said, I really think that we need to dig a little bit more deep into this term called vessel. And now tonight, before we leave, we all need to understand that we're vessels. But the only way that you are going to see the hand of God in your life is to be a vessel on His terms. You can't feed yourself the way you want. You can't clothe yourself the way you want. You can't just do everything you want in this life the way you want, when you want it, how you want it. No. When you became a born-again Christian, you died to yourself. And there was a new man that started within you. God created a new person within you. That body belongs to Jesus. That hair belongs to Jesus. Your facial cosmetics, the way that you want to view yourself, and all of that belongs to Jesus. But the question is, rather than looking at yourself in the mirror and trying to conform yourself to a standard you've been taught by the world of what you think is beautiful, what you think is not, tonight I hope that you'll see from the Bible that the image that we are supposed to bear is the image of Christ, regardless if you're a female or a male. If you want to be a vessel of honor, it's going to have to start between you and God, walking a holy life, walking a good life, a life that's in obedience, a life that is yielded to God. Tonight we're going to talk about that. Let's go to verse 15 in Acts 9, church, and let's read real quick to remind ourselves of how a vessel should be for the Lord. Well, here's what the Lord told Ananias about Paul getting saved. Look at what he says in verse 15. The Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a what? Chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I," this is what Jesus is telling Ananias, "I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Jesus said that Paul was a chosen vessel unto me. The word vessel appears 46 times in 41 verses within our King James Bible. Various forms of it, for example, appears 200 times in 171 verses within the Bible. The very first mention of vessel is found in Genesis 43:11. And it's simply used to carry something on the inside of it. Just like the picture I showed you earlier had the heart inside the container. That's generally what the vessel conveys. It's something made of something else in order to possess, to hold, to carry, if you will, to somewhere else. It's like a container in that context. The second mention of the word vessel, Leviticus 6:28, talks about an earthen vessel. How many of you guys know what clay is? You know, that kind of stuff, pottery, right? It's made of the earth, and hence people use that stuff, and they would boil stuff in. That's literally what that was. That kind of a vessel can be broken. And there are many types of vessels described in the Bible. For example, Leviticus 11:32. You can have vessels made of wood, raiment, which is clothing, a skin, sack. Ezra 4:9 was told for him to create this thing to hold beans in and things like that. So many of you guys know what I'm talking about. You have containers that hold your beans or your rice. Those are just simply called vessels. Then we have certain vessels that have coverings, like a cap, if you will, Numbers 19:15. Vessels, church, can hold holy or sanctified things for the Lord's purpose. Let's look at this one together. 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21. We lay the foundation of what we're talking about by giving you Bible examples, and then we go to some more verses to kind of further expound upon this thing that we're talking about, which is vessel. And you're going to see tonight before we close, church, that your body is a vessel. And inside your body, you contain something precious, something sanctified. Depending on how you take care of your vessel, that's what God is going to be able to further bless, to be a blessing to the world around you. We're going to see that tonight. That's going to be my hope and encouragement to you. Tonight is kind of like a preaching message, if you will. Look at here, 1 Samuel 21. We have King David. He's a little hungry, and he's hanging out with the fellows. And as they're walking around, trying to stay at a distance from King Saul because of how King Saul was threatening his life, they had nothing else to eat. But they went to the house of God, and there the high priest was telling him, hey, King David, we don't got much for you, but we just got this bread. Look at here in verse number 4. The priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women. You know what the priest said? Look, David, we don't got regular bread, man. We don't got that Wonder Bread, amen, that Felipe likes to eat all the time. We don't got that that Winko bread, that Great Value. You know, we got this Ezekiel bread. We got that good bread here. But you know what? Your men, they have to be pure. And if they want to eat this bread, they better make sure that they haven't been touching women. Well, look at verse 5. David answered the priest and said unto him, of the truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy. Now look at that. The vessels of the young men are holy. That's a reference to their bodies. You see there? And the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Look at that verse 5 again. The bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in a vessel. That bread, it's just regular bread. But it was sanctified bread because it was a bread that was going to be set apart for the service of God. But that bread is inside of a what? A vessel. You, when you became a born-again Christian, God saved you, but you still live in this vessel, this body. There ain't nothing fancy about this body. There ain't nothing fancy about this bigote, this little caterpillar I got here. There ain't nothing fancy about the creases, my height. But there's something on the inside that's sanctified. There's something on the inside of you that's sanctified. Stick with me. I know you guys know what we're talking about. There are various descriptions of vessels used by common jobs. For example, there's trades. People will shape vessels. Look at with me at Psalm 2, verse number 9. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. How many of you guys ever seen sculptors? Maybe on that machine and it's spinning the clay around and they begin to mold it and shape it. And all of a sudden after they cook it and bake it, it's just made out of clay. That thing can break fairly easily. That's a potter's vessel that can be broken easily. Sometimes people express their anguish of heart comparing themselves with broken vessel. Let's look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 31. Psalm 31, look it down with me here in verse number 12. He says, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. How many of you guys ever felt bad before? Just having sadness or grief. Sometimes it's like, man, I compare myself. I'm just like that broken vessel. There's substance, there's pieces, and you used to be whole, but because of things going on, I feel like that. That's your body. Sometimes people express their anguish of heart. Vessels that are to be used for a greater purpose. During the manufacturing process, especially metals, they go through a fire, and what they do is they burn out impurities so that the finished product is fine. We're going to see some similarities in a little bit concerning that in the ministry of Jeremiah, and what we're going to do is we're going to compare the testimony we see in the book of Jeremiah 18 with that of Paul's life in Acts chapter 9. So turn your Bible now with me, church, to Jeremiah chapter number 18. We're going to learn some unique truths about God dealing with the nation of Israel through the prophet, and then we're going to compare that with the principle we see, and we're going to compare with Paul, and then we're going to bring some application with the help of God to our lives tonight. So turn your Bible with me now to Jeremiah chapter number 18. At this time, church, y'all got to remember that the nation of Israel was being judged by God, and they were going to be led into captivity underneath the power of Nebuchadnezzar because of the rebellion against the word of God. But every time that God will send his people judgment, he would raise up a prophet to give him the latest message and tell him why. This is why you've done wrong against God. This is why this is happening within your life, because I am distributing to you, I'm giving to you the message that God gave me, so you better listen up. This is what the prophet's ministry was to the nation of Israel, much like all the prophets. Let's read together, and then I think you'll be able to see some comparison with that of the New Testament apostles. Look at verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. So what's going on? Jeremiah hears the word of God. God says, Jeremiah, I need you to go down to the potter's store, and he's going to be working on some things. I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to show you what you need to preach next. So then he goes down there, and what does he see? He sees the potter spinning the wheel. Remember I told you guys that? And he's shaping the clay, but the clay was kind of lumpy. How many of you guys ever seen that on YouTube, how they're making it and it's kind of bending up? But then the guy is redoing it according to what he has purpose for it, according to his vision. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I deal with you as this potter, say the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. So now he's giving Jeremiah something to behold with his eyes so he can understand the judgment against the house of Israel. What instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation, against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. In other words, I am giving you guys a warning. If you repent and respond to what I am telling you to respond to, I will change my mind about the judgment that I have concerning you. That's what he's telling them concerning their purpose as a nation. And what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. If that nation is not going to honor me, then I will bring judgment upon them. I will make their lives difficult. I'll make it miserable. I'll make it hard because they are not responding to my voice, he says. Look at verse 11. He's telling Jeremiah, now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way. Make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen who hath heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. So what is Jeremiah's job? God told him, you see this potter's vessel? This is exactly what I'm trying to get across to the nation of Israel. But I'm going to use you, Jeremiah, to go out there and preach the word of God so they can understand the purpose. They can understand the purpose for their judgment. What do they need to do, Jeremiah? They need to repent from their evil way, and they need to respond to what I am delivering through you so that way I can turn what it is that I purpose with my heart against them. In other words, you wouldn't want to bring it against them because they would repent. But if they don't, here's what's going to happen. You know what he told Paul in Acts 9? He is a chosen vessel unto me. He is going to go where? To the children of Israel. He is going to go to the kings and the Gentiles to bear witness of who? Jesus. And just like the ministry of Jeremiah, just like he's warning the people of Israel concerning the judgment of God, that is exactly what we're going to see within Paul's life. We have two vessels for a purpose. One, here is what he wanted to do with the nation of Israel, but here's the description. He can redo them, he can rebuild them, he can use them for this, and he can use them for that. But now, concerning their life is a vessel through whom he can use. Let me remind you of a simple truth that Jesus said. It's not good to cover a candle with a vessel. Luke 8:16. Let's go now to Peter's vision in Acts chapter 10. Peter had a vision in Acts chapter 10. And the Bible tells us in verse 11 through 16 that it was a certain vessel. And remember how I read that earlier in Leviticus 11:32 that a vessel can be made out of raiment. And that's all he saw. This vessel contained a lot of unique creatures. But God used this vision to help Peter understand that he was going to be saving Gentiles so that they too can receive the gift of everlasting life. My question to you today, church, what kind of vessel are you? Are you a vessel that is honorable or dishonorable before God? I'm not asking you to confess your sin to me because I have no power to do anything for you. The only one who has power to do anything about the sin within your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a preacher, as somebody who cares enough about you to tell you the truth, I can help you and I can guide you on the right steps to make sure you're taking care of your vessel. And the vessel that I'm not referring to is the containers at your home. I'm not talking about what's holding your beans, your rice. I'm not talking about what's holding your gold and your jewelry. I'm talking about your body. Turn with me now, church, to the book of Romans, chapter number 9. Romans 9. The reason why Paul was used mightily was because he was an honorable vessel. The reason why the apostles were used mightily is because they were honorable vessels. Tonight, if you want God to use you, you need to be an honorable vessel. The Bible says here, look at Romans 9, verse 20. And think about what we just read in Jeremiah 18, okay? He says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." What kind of vessel are you today? Are you the vessel used for honor by God as an example he seeks to show others of what a good Christian life is like and how it's supposed to be? Or is your life an example of a Christian's life of what it's not supposed to be? The only way that you can answer that, church, is how are you responding to the Word of God within your own personal life? We're going to see that hearing and receiving are very important on how to maintain your vessel. You see, that Bible just told us that God was patient towards people. And as he was so patient with people back in those days, this is what's going to be the outcome to their life. They were either going to have a merciful God as he dealt with them because they were responding to him in faith, or they were going to have a God of judgment and bring upon them destruction because they rebelled against God and his word. Again, what kind of vessel are you today, church? How are you responding to the word of God? How are you listening to the Word of God? We have two choices, honorable or dishonorable. It all depends upon you. How are we to respond is the question. Well, let me tell you something that Jesus said often in his teaching. He said this, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, you don't have to turn your Bible there. I'm just going to show you quickly on the screen for the sake of time. So just look up to the screen, please. Look at Matthew 11 with me. Matthew chapter 11. And look at these verses that I just want to show you on the topic of why it's important about how you hear. Matthew 11, verse number 15. Jesus would often say this, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You see, the option always came back down to the person. Now, how many of you guys have ears physically? Anybody? Y'all good? Okay. How many of you guys can hear me, like, audibly right now? Nobody's deaf right now? Okay. But even if they were, we can sign language. But here's the point. You have the ability, so use it. You can listen, so listen up, is what he's saying. Let's go to chapter 13. Look up to the screen here. Matthew 13, look at 9 through 16. He says it again, very similar. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." What about people who didn't and did? Let's get a quick explanation from none other than our Savior concerning understanding the Bible, right, in general. The disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" In other words, when Jesus was preaching, there were two types of people that responded. There were those who were willing to hear and those who were not. There were those that came to the church house and they heard the pastor preaching, but they were just sitting in the pew. They weren't really paying attention. They weren't really listening with the heart. And then the disciples, those are the folks that wanted to stay at the church to learn a little bit more. These are the people that said, "Lord, I really want you to break it down to me because I really want to receive this in my heart. I don't want to go without knowing what you were talking about." So now they're asking him, "Lord, why are you talking to us and revealing this stuff versus them over there?" Look at verse 11. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing," watch this, see not. They were there. And hearing, they hear not. They heard. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Why? Look at verse 15. For this people heart is waxed gross. What does that mean? It grew thick. It grew fat. It grew hardened. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, what does it say? They have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their what? Heart. And should be converted and I should heal them. What's the difference? Blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. What's going to make you separate and distinct from the Christian next to you or the Christian at the other church is how you hear the Word of God, how you respond to the Word of God. You're either going to be the believer that sits down at the pew and that is audibly listening to Brother Carlos, or you're going to be the believer that's listening to Brother Carlos but is receiving in the heart. You're understanding because you're believing the Word of God as it's being presented to you today. This, my friend, is going to be the type of vessel that you're going to be. If you want to be an honorable vessel, what you need to work on is your heart to not only hear with your ears, but to do your best to believe it. Responding to God and saying, Lord, feed me. I want to understand. Asking God questions, setting apart time to study that Bible so that way you can have that vessel and that blessing of understanding. But if you want to be a dishonorable vessel, keep coming to church, but don't do nothing with the heart. Let it be drifting away. Let it stay out there in the parking lot. Let it be on this and let it be on that, everything but Christ. And before you know it, no wonder why your life hasn't changed much. Listen now, Matthew 15. Remember, we're trying to be better vessels. I'm trying to show you how you can be, but it comes down to you. How are you listening today? How are you receiving it with the heart, remember? Look at what Jesus says in verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, they're coming to church. They're playing the piano. They're playing the guitar. They have a Bible open up in their lap, but you know what? Their heart, it's far from God. We can't fool God. If you want to be an honorable vessel, your heart needs to draw close to God with your lips. You can't play this half and half, church. If you want to be an honorable vessel for God, you got to come to God, give him this body and say, Lord, here's my body. I'm bringing it to church, but not only am I bringing this body to church, I'm bringing my heart with me. And Lord, when I come here, Lord, I'm here to worship you, God, and I'm here to learn more about you because I want everything. I want to do everything the best I can for you, Lord. That's the honorable vessel. The dishonorable vessel says, Lord, hey, I'm here. I'm checking the mark. That brother knows I'm being solid. I'm coming to church so pastor doesn't get mad. But your heart, it ain't here. There ain't no benefit. There ain't no benefit at all for you. In vain, the Bible says, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. He called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. God wants you to learn that Bible. He wants you to learn this Bible. He wants you to be able to rightly divide it. He wants you to be able to understand how to be a godly husband to the wife, wives how to be a godly wife, children, single, young folks, and older single or older folks in here. He wants you to understand his word. But you got to be willing to hear him. You got to be willing to receive him. You got to be willing to present yourself to him wholly. Jesus doesn't just want your ears. He doesn't just want your feet. He doesn't just want your money. He wants your heart. And once he has your heart, then your life will begin to change. Look at Luke chapter 16. Like I said, just look up to the screen. Don't worry. Bible says Luke 16, verse 15, very similar passage, again, parallel, concerning this aspect of faithfulness here. The Bible says here in Luke 16, verse number 15, but God knoweth your hearts. Don't forget that, church. Mark 4, these are very similar passages concerning how you hear. What are we trying to talk about? How to be a vessel unto honor. He said in Mark 4:9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he gives a very similar understanding about what we just talked about, how the disciples, they heard the Lord teach a little bit more about his Bible study versus the others, because the others, they didn't care, but they did. So those that are going to learn more is because they're studying more. Those that know a lot more Bible than the brother next to them is because they're actually spending time with the Savior. The Savior wants to talk to you all day long. He wants to help you to understand this book. He'll show you things, but if your heart ain't here, don't expect for him to do that. You can't just go off the vapor, if you will. You got to go off that fuel. Go down to verse number 33 later in Mark chapter 4. With many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Are you listening tonight? Are you able to hear tonight's preaching and teaching? The only way that you're going to be able to grow as a vessel unto honor is not only if you're hearing with the ear, but what? Receiving with the heart. You can read that later on in Mark 7, very similar, verses 6, about the heart being far, and about how the heart has to deal with the hearing at the same time. Let me show you this one in Mark 7. This is real important. Verse number 16. The Bible says here, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Do you see that? And so he begins to understand concerning the heart. He's beginning to teach concerning the heart. Verse number 19, because it entereth not into his heart. So if you want to be a vessel unto honor, not only are you listening with the ears, but you are receiving with your heart. You can read very similar passages found later on in Luke 6, 27, Luke 8, 8, and then Luke 8, 18. But what about those who reject? What about those who refuse to hear us? Well, don't worry. You don't need to worry about that, because they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him inside of you. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Look at what the Bible says concerning Jesus Christ, concerning what he was teaching. In John 5, verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Do you guys see, church? It's not just audibly processing the information. It is within your heart responding by faith to believe the information that is going to cause the change within your life. It was as simple as this truth for Felix. Remember, the Bible says that he trembled. Don't forget that in the back of your mind. Because Paul was encountering him, and he was preaching to him. You see, based upon how you respond to his word, whether or not you will be willing to hear with your ears and believe with your heart, that's what's going to define and to shape the kind of vessel you will be. Let's go to 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. As I'm coming to a close concerning this vessel, and then we'll quickly finish with Felix, here are going to be some strong tips on how to present your body and how to keep that thing under control so that way God can bless your life. Verse number 19 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says here, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Do you see that? If a man therefore purge himself from these, what does it say? He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Not every Christian in the church house is the same believer. Clearly, God knows that. Some of you tonight, I don't know who you are. Some of you tonight may be Brother Gold, Sister Silver. Some of you tonight may be Brother Wood and Sister Earth. Depending upon how you are maintaining your vessel, that is where the Lord's hand is going to be a blessing. Do you see there, church, in verse number 22? If a man therefore purge himself, is that God doing that? That's you doing that. Because God gave you the ability to do it. Because you were willing to hear with your ear, and you were willing to receive with your heart. But if you just hear with the ear, and you don't receive with your heart, and you don't believe with your heart, no wonder why you're not being a vessel prepared unto every good work. He tells Timothy to flee youthful lusts in verse 22, but to follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Church, again, what kind of vessel are you? I cannot help you to answer that question. That's just between you and God. Paul was an honorable vessel. He was blessed mightily by God because he was willing to hear with his ears and to believe with his heart the word of God and what was commanded of him to do concerning the gospel, and by which we are saved. It was a treasure by the Holy Spirit inside of his body. Remember, the body is a vessel. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at with me here in verse number 7. How many of you guys believe Jesus Christ today? How many of you guys have received him as your Lord and Savior? Well, much like treasure, it's precious. You have that precious treasure within your body. Look, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is why the manner in which we live will either show to the world the riches you possess or not, based upon how you live. Brother or sister, don't get mad when the pastor reminds you how you should be taking care of your vessel, because he's doing his part to help you to be an honorable vessel. Back to Paul's life in Acts. Remember that he's being used as an honorable vessel to preach the word of God to the children of Israel. Paul rehearsed before the Jews in Acts 22 how he was speaking with Ananias concerning his role in his ministry, not just to bear his name before the Gentiles, but the children of Israel and all men. And what I want to close with is Felix trembling. Let's go now back to Acts 24 before we close and finish up with some last notes on Felix's life. Go with me now towards the end here of Acts 24 and verse number 22. You see, he had already heard a little bit more about Christianity. He had heard a little bit about what Paul needed to preach to him concerning righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, as you guys can see here in verse number 25. What was the outcome? Was Felix happy after he heard the truth about Jesus Christ and the Christian faith? Or was he afraid, or was he trembling? Verse 25 says that he was trembling. But why? Well, Paul told him about three main things. I call these the big three: righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. The word righteousness is mentioned 306 times in 289 verses within your King James Bible. The word temperance is only used four times. The word temperance is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. It's a virtue of Christ also in 2 Peter chapter 1. Temperance means to self-control. And then thirdly, judgment. 294 times in 285 verses within your King James Bible. Let's go to Acts 10:42. Back to Acts chapter 10, verse 42. Why is this important? Because before you leave tonight, you're going to be reminded of why it is we do for what we do for Jesus by going out there into the world the best we can, when we can, to tell them about Jesus Christ and what he is going to do if they don't respond. This is why we give out these tracts. This is why you invite your family to come and learn more about Jesus, because you want them to know the truth of what's going to happen if they don't truly and sincerely believe. Peter is talking to an Italian man, a Gentile, and look at what he says about Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the what? Judge of quick and dead. According to Peter, God ordained Jesus Christ to be the judge of everybody. The people who have already died, your friends and your family members, Jesus will judge them one day. Those of you who became Christians, don't worry. You're not going to have to worry about being judged unto death and to hell and the lake of fire. No, no. But you still will be judged for your works for Jesus. You can't escape that. Second, this is exactly the same thing that Paul preached in Acts chapter 17, verse number 31. Again, this is why we're motivated to go out into the world to do what we do, because of what God has commanded in the Bible, what God has set forth concerning the truth of Christ. Look at verse number 31 with me in Acts 17. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in what? Righteousness, just like he was telling Felix, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Why are we telling people to repent? Why are we out there trying to tell our family members and friends and supporting missionaries the best we can to go out into the world to tell somebody about Jesus? Because God ordained him to be the judge of who? The living and the dead. And if they don't repent to respond to his free gift of eternal life, he will judge them for their sin, and he will eventually send them to hell. And perhaps this is why Felix trembled at his preaching, because one day he was told that he is going to stand before Jesus to give an account, and that he'd better repent and be saved prior to his death for this reason, because Jesus said that he is the judge. You can read all the verses later on, Matthew 12:36, John 5:22, John 12:48, Romans 2:16, concerning the Christian, 2 Corinthians 5:10, 2 Timothy 4:1, Hebrews 9:27, Hebrews 10:27, Hebrews 12:23, Hebrews 13:4, James 5:9, and 1 Peter 4:3. Jesus Christ is ready to judge, and he will be coming back. Allow me to leave you with these last two verses as we come to a close. Let's go to Revelation 16. I'm going to show you now the Jesus that the world doesn't like. I'm going to show you the real Jesus before you leave tonight, so that way when you think about Jesus Christ, you're going to be reminded of who he is. This is not the History Channel Jesus. This is not the Discovery Channel Jesus. This is not your public education Jesus. This is the biblical Jesus concerning the biblical judgment that he is going to bring forth. And this is why you need to make sure if you're saved and born again. Revelation 16:7. That Bible says, "And I heard out of the altar say, Even so, Lord, God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And look in Revelation chapter 19. When he comes back to judge, boy, he is going to be angry. He is not going to be that humble and meek Savior that died. No, he is going to be on fire. Look at what he says. "For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And then lastly, in verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Woo! In the end of the day, church, when we consider Felix trembling at the preaching of Paul, like many, he wasn't willing to hear with his ears. He was not willing to believe with his heart. This, my friend, isn't your concern. Our duty is simply to share his message. It's up to the hearer on how to respond accordingly. In the end of the day, God will hold people accountable with the measure or standard of judgment they used when rejecting his word when you were sharing him. Just remember this, believer. It's not about us, nor shall we or should we take offense when people reject us. Remember, they're not going to be excused before God. You don't need to worry about that. But what you need to worry about is your going forth. In other words, they're not rejecting you, but they're rejecting him inside of you. The more we can grasp this truth, the easier it will be for us to process rejectment and also disappointment from the lost, whether they're your family or friends or coworkers or strangers. God is not going to judge us for their response. Rather, he is going to judge us for our obedience to him personally. And as we can see and learn from the life of the Apostle Paul, the Lord kept him going, even though the times of rejection. Let me encourage you, as we continue to serve, that whatever we do for Jesus Christ, whatever we commit unto him for the work of service, the Lord is not going to forget. The Lord is going to reward. And that's exactly what Paul had in his mind and in his heart, that whatever he committed, 2 Timothy 1:12, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to keep that which he has committed unto him against that day. So church, no matter who you are tonight, no matter what you've done, you still have time to serve Jesus. You still have time to make sure that your body, your vessel, is an honorable vessel. We don't have an altar here, but you have a seat, you have a pew, and you have a heart. If there's perhaps anything in your heart that you need to pray for, if there's perhaps anything in your heart and your mind that you need to just confess to God and say, Lord, my bad. I haven't been serving you the best I know I should have. I have been doing much for you, Lord. I know as much as I should have, Lord, but would you forgive me and would you help me to start being an honorable vessel moving forward tonight? I'm telling you, church, when you just come to Jesus, he wants you to understand his word. He wants you to not only hear with your ear, but he wants you to receive with your heart. And the more you draw closer to God, he is going to draw closer to you. And before you know it, your life will begin to change and you'll be motivated, like me, to dedicate more of your time, your finances, your efforts to be a light to the world, to go out there and then to spend time with each other, to discipleship and to fellowship, just to talk about God and boast on God and have a good time, because that's what's going to help you and strengthen your life to be a vessel of honor. So church, I'm going to leave you with that. We have a lot more notes to cover, but Lord willing, next Wednesday, we'll finish up with the kingdom aspect of Jesus Christ and when he's going to return. What is he doing right now until he returns? And then we'll finish up with some other verses concerning the Apostle Paul's life, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Amen. Anybody here have any questions, comments about tonight's message, what we talked about? So just between you and God, what is my life? What kind of vessel am I? I can't judge you. Only Jesus can. But I can sure look at your heart and say, or your life and say, wow, brother, sister, we can work on these things together. We're here to help each other out. Amen. Lord, I thank you for tonight's Bible study. I pray, Lord, that the word of God was able to do its job, God. And I pray the effect upon the heart of every soul was ready to receive and to believe, Lord, what they heard tonight. Lord, I am not perfect. I am far from perfect. But you are perfect. Your word is perfect. I need to be helped by that perfect word. Tonight, God, only you know the hearts of everybody that's here tonight. Only you know how sincere they are. Only you know those who came here with ears, but their heart is far. Only you know those who came here both with their ears and their heart to receive your word, to hear a word, and to set apart more time. God, would you strengthen our church, strengthen the members of our church to have a vessel of honor. Please empower them. Please encourage them to do more for you tonight, God. I know you have a plan and purpose for everybody here tonight, from Raphael to Sister Eileen to everybody, God. I know everybody here has something that you set them aside for to do for you. Help them to get there. And as you help them to get there, help me to help them, God, because it's not about me, Lord. It's about you, and it's about you in them. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do with our church family to help us grow to be more like you, and it's in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. All right, guys, God bless you. I love y'all in the Lord. It sure was a blessing to see everybody here tonight. Please have a safe trip back home. Travel back safely, amen. And I pray that the word of God has effect on your life tonight. I want to thank you guys, for those of you that are watching online. The Lord bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you soon. Come on by and visit, amen. The Lord bless.